Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Does life ever overwhelm you and seem to demand more than you can give? Well, friend, God wants to come alongside of you, and from within you, His Holy Spirit, He wants to give you power for life. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Chappell, we examine power for life. Stay with us. One experience that's universal to human life is that life can become overwhelming. We can convince ourselves that we have everything under control, but in our conscience we know it's fragile. We know that suffering or hardship can change our situation. And that's where God's Holy Spirit comes in. When we have a relationship with Him, He offers us a power for living and for life that suffering and hardship cannot take away. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth. But today, we're studying Power for Life. Today we're going to study God's power to intercede. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Here's Paul Chappell.
But Paul said, when I finally realized that I was weak, it was then that God's power rested upon my life. Now, I've never met anybody who would say, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Most people today are not real happy about trials and difficulty. But Paul had come to that place in his life where he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, if this is what it took to get me to where I needed to be in my walk with God, then I will most gladly thank Him for it. God says, I want to strengthen you by my Spirit, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. But notice, secondly, he says, not only do I have help to strengthen you, but he says, I want to also guide you. He has strength to guide us during these times of difficulty. Verse 26, the Bible says once again, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit at certain times in our lives is prepared even to guide our prayer life and to help us to know how to pray. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where you were so overwhelmed by the challenges and trials that you faced. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where the news was so difficult that all you knew how to do was simply cry and weep, and you had prayed and prayed to God but didn't really know what else to say. You didn't know how to verbalize to God the brokenness of your heart. Well, the Bible says that at those moments, the Spirit of God will help us to pray as we ought. He will make intercession for us. And the Bible speaks of this in Romans 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Frankly, if you are not saved today, this service is foolishness unto you. You are a natural man who does not possess the Spirit. But if you have been born again by the Spirit, then God says, I can guide you when you don't know where to go. I can help you pray when you don't know what to say. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will help you. You are not alone in this life. I am going to strengthen you in your time of infirmity. I am going to guide you when you don't know how to pray, when all you know is emptiness of soul and bitterness of soul, and you cry out to me without words, God says, I am going to verbalize for you at the throne of grace what needs to be said by my Spirit. Many years ago, there was an accomplished organist who was known for rousing renderings of all the popular numbers. And it was back in a day when someone would be in a back room and they would be pumping up an airbag so that all of the wind could get into the pipes of the organ. And as this particular gal was playing her concert, the billows were being blown and the pipes were being provided the air by the efforts in the back. And she came to the point where she would now play her last number. And so she stood up and everyone had been clapping and she announced her last number. And she said, "I shall now play." And she announced the number. She sat back down. She stretched her arms. She got ready. She put her hands down on the keys and nothing happened. Well, she was a little frustrated. She tried again and nothing happened. Well, a moment later, someone walked out from behind the platform and said, "Why don't you say, 'We shall now play'?" And apparently the person in the back pumping all the air into the pipes wanted a little bit of credit for the solo that was now being announced. Can I be honest with you? There's not a person in here who really walks with the Lord who can say definitively, "I'm going to do this for God, I'm going to do that for God." But if you're growing this year in the understanding of the Holy Spirit's ministry, you'll learn to understand this fact. It's not I, but it's Christ in me. It's by His Spirit that we witness. It's by His Spirit that we sing. It's by His Spirit you stay married. It's by His Spirit you tell someone about Christ. It's by His Spirit you forgive. It's by His Spirit you learn how to pray effectively. It's all because of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Holy Spirit will guide our prayers. And may I say, the Holy Spirit understands our pain. There are times when people say, "How's it going?" You don't even know how to verbalize it. There are times when people will try to come along and figure out the circumstance and you don't have the ability to explain what you're feeling within your soul. But you don't have to explain to an all-knowing God who already understands what is in your heart. Notice the Bible says in verse number 26, it says, "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Here we see as we pray and as we have a broken heart and don't know exactly what to say, the Holy Spirit has empathy. The Holy Spirit brings the groanings of our heart and the burdens of our heart before the throne of grace. He understands what it means to suffer deeply. The Bible says in John 11 and verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." You understand that Jesus Christ, who groaned in the spirit because of the loss of loved ones and the pain that was being experienced by his disciples, that he knew how to empathize. And the Holy Spirit likewise understands when your heart is broken and helps to convey the feeling of your heart before the God to whom we pray. The Bible says in verse 26, he makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this is not a reference to some type of an ecstatic gibberish or the unknown tongues that some would try to force upon a new convert. This is not talking about the phenomenon related to first century revelation. This is speaking about the burden of a heart being carried to the throne of grace by the Holy Spirit of God. God says, "I want you to understand when you walk through the valleys of life that there is one who will offer heavenly help, and that one indwells you, and that one wants to guide you and strengthen you, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God." The heavenly help of the Holy Spirit. All of us, when we walk through the valley, need the heavenly help of God's Holy Spirit. But notice, secondly, the Holy Spirit not only provides heavenly help, he not only helps us with our infirmities, but secondly, he provides a holy knowledge. Now, it's one thing to have encouragement. It's another thing to have encouragement according to knowledge, and the knowledge of God in particular. Would you notice with me, please, in verse 27 what it says? "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." Now, God's Holy Spirit, first of all, knows our need. He has knowledge to know our need. May I say to you that when you're going through stress, when you're stressed out and going through the trials, you may not even know your own heart. You may not even know what's going on with your own emotions. I have seen many Christians get in a point of stress and make irrational decisions. And all of a sudden, they go out and buy something they shouldn't buy. They go out and say something they shouldn't say. They go out and move somewhere they should have never moved to in the first place. All of a sudden, they start acting like a ping pong ball in a bowling alley, going back and forth because they don't even know their own heart. By the way, how many of you would admit that stress sometimes has a way of making us a little foggy in the way we think? And here we see a truth, that when we don't even know our own heart, there is a God in heaven who searches our heart and who knows how to pray what is best when we may not even know what to say. And this is what it says in verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God Almighty examines our heart. That's why the psalmist would often pray, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. You see, friend, when you don't even know what's going on in your own heart, you may say, well, I'm okay. I think I'm going in the right direction. But in reality, you go in the wrong direction. When you don't really know what's happening in your life, maybe through a midlife crisis, as some would call it, or maybe through a time of stress because of sickness or loss of employment or all of these things together, when you just say, I just don't know what's going on in my life, hear me this morning, there is a God in heaven who knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart, and you would be wise to seek His wisdom and seek His guidance. He says, I have knowledge of your need. But notice, secondly, He has the ability then to intercede on our behalf. Sometimes you might say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know what's wrong in my life. Lord, I don't understand why I feel the way I feel. But God does. And the Bible says in verse 27, because He maketh intercession for the saints, watch this, according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, I don't understand my heart. I don't even understand my needs, but you know my heart. And God, if there's anything in my heart that's wicked and wrong and sinful, Lord, show it to me that I might confess it. And God, once my heart is right, I don't even then often know what to exactly ask you for, but I ask you, Spirit of God, to help me in my prayer and help me to do the right thing and show me how I ought to pray and what I need. And the Spirit of the living God conveys not only your burden, but He conveys your need to the throne of grace, that your prayer would be answered according to the will of the Father in heaven. As Jesus Himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, listen, friend, the great need of the hour is not necessarily having my will done in heaven, but it is having God's will done on earth. And we must come to that place of saying, God, show me your will and help me to see it accomplished in my life. And so He helps us to know our need, and then He intercedes on our behalf. The Bible speaks of this in Ephesians 1 and verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. You see, the Holy Spirit sees the bigger picture. And when He intercedes for us, He intercedes in such a way that He is asking that the will of God would be done in our lives on this earth. And so we hear today the Spirit of the living God. And He says, I want to provide a heavenly help for you. I want to help you when you have those times of difficulty. I want to help you when you're feeling those infirmities within your flesh. He says, I don't simply though want to help you. I want to help you according to my knowledge, because God says, I know what you need more than you really understand yourself. I'm going to pray according to the will of the Father for your life. Listen, I don't know about you. I thank God for that kind of direction. That's the compass that I need spiritually. And the guidance that I need is the guidance that comes from the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Then notice finally this morning, God says, I not only have a heavenly help for you, I not only have holy knowledge for you, but I also have a very helpful promise for you. I have a very helpful promise. And I want you to see this as we close. God is promising us in His Word that when we go through these times when we don't even know what to pray, and when the pain is so deep that we don't even know what to say, God says, when you are in those moments, I want you to know something. I want to give you a promise today that there is a reason for those moments. and that I have a purpose in those specific moments of your life. Now let's read about that in Romans 8:28. Some of you have read this 1,000 times. Someone will read it today for the very first time. So everybody, find it in your Bible or in your notes, Romans 8:28, and let's read it together. Shall we? Ready, begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according. Very good. Now here's the promise from God. First of all, he gives us a promise of assurance. He says, I want to assure you of something. When you go through those times when your heart is aching, those times when you don't even know what to say, you're not sure what's going on in your heart, and you open your heart up to God and you ask him to help you to pray because you don't even know what to say. And you say, God, I don't even understand my heart, but you know my heart. You search my heart. And so God, help me to pray according to your will, not mine. God says, when you are in those moments of pain, when you are at that tipping point in your life, God says, I want you to make sure you understand something. And that is, I want to assure you that all things, every experience, work together. They're working synergistically for good. And you see, someone said, earth is the place of trust and heaven is the place of understanding. We're going to understand it better by and by, but until then, we must trust that God is working all these things together for good. In other words, whether it's family pain, whether it's physical pain, whether it's some series of circumstance that it just, they came in series of three, Pastor Chapel, all the trials come in threes. Whatever it is that you're experiencing, as the Spirit of God ministers to your heart, as he helps you to pray, as he says what you cannot say, God says, this is not a silly game. He says, I want you to know there's a reason for it, and this is all going to work together for good. All of these events will occur for a reason. So there is a promise of assurance, and secondly, there is a promise of purpose. God says, I have a purpose here. I'm not going to waste this trial, and I don't want you to waste this trial. There is a purpose through this time. Life is not a continuous trail of events that are meaningless and out of control. Life is not a fatalistic train ride where God's up in the engine not knowing where to go or what's going on. My friend, God knows exactly what's going on today. And he is in control this morning. He is a sovereign, loving God who has a purpose in every event of our life. He does not necessarily plan every calamity, but he will bring a purpose by way of every calamity for the life of the believer. And what is the purpose, someone says? And how could God have a purpose in such a moment of pain? And how could God have a purpose in such a moment which I find even the inability to express how I feel to the point that without his Holy Spirit, I could not even pray? How does God have a purpose in times like that? And what is his purpose? Well, he's already said all these things work together for good. But notice it says, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, I don't know about you. I'm glad to know that God has a purpose for my life and for your life. This is not some evolutionary accidental existence today. But we are here by God's divine appointment. So what is his purpose when our heart is aching? First, his purpose is that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. He says, here is your opportunity in your weakness to find my strength. Here is your opportunity in your weakness to become more like my son. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God says before you were ever saved, he had a predetermined desire and plan for your life. And that desire and plan is that you would become more like Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you would say, boy, I got a way to go, Pastor? All right. But how many of you who raise your hand would also say, but thank God for his grace, because only God knows where I would be today apart from his saving grace. All right. So we're on a journey. None of us are perfect, but we're on a journey of conformity. And we're not conforming necessarily to just the nuances of Christianity and hopefully not the nuances of culture. We are to be conforming to the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory and honor. The fact that we are predestinated, John Phillips said, for glory cannot be altered for another reason. Predestination relates itself not only to the daily concerns of men, but also the eternal counsels of God. And so God says, I have a purpose for your life, and that is that you might become more like Jesus Christ. And then secondly, that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say, when your child is well behaved and your child says thank you, and your child could have gotten in a bad way but instead chose to do that which is right, and someone says, that was wonderful how your child behaved, you are able at that moment to say, glory to God. Amen. Thanks be to God. God's at work in his life. Someone says, why, that was an amazing thing what happened at Lancaster Baptist Church. How they went out and how they helped folks that were victims of the fire, and how they gave out food and water, and how some accepted Jesus Christ through that experience. And someone says, that was an amazing effort. And so we're able to stand and say to the reporter, glory to God for the way he worked in the lives of our church. Thanks be to God for members who had a responsive heart. Someone says, it's an amazing thing that during the recession that a few thousand people can get together and hear preaching from missionaries and fill out cards and pledge more than $1 million to send overseas to foreign missionaries during a time like this. Just amazing, that $1 million commitment. And we're able to say, glory to God for the way his Spirit spoke and the way the people listened, and bring honor and glory to God for what he's done, because we are weak, but he is strong, you see. So the more we become like Christ, unselfish and giving and forgiving and compassionate, are you with me? The more opportunity we have to deflect the praise back to him and say, it's all because of Jesus that these great things have been done. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Why? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then your sins are washed away. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are on your way to heaven. If you have trusted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. And he comes today by way of his word, and he says, when you are down, and when you are feeling out, and when you are feeling destitute within your soul, and you've prayed and cried to the point you don't even know what else to say, there's a helper. There's a heavenly helper. His name is the Holy Spirit of God. And he knows, and he can make groanings for you. And he could bring your burden to the throne of grace. He's a heavenly helper. And he has holy knowledge. This Holy Spirit knows your heart better than you know your heart. And he knows how to pray better than you know how to pray. And he can bring things to the Father that will help you better than you would know how to seek the help of the Father. And all of this, he says, has a wonderful, helpful purpose. And the purpose is that as the Spirit brings you through this valley, this difficult time, people will see you still standing, still serving, still being faithful, and they'll say to you, it's amazing how you're doing. And you'll say to them, it's all because of Jesus. His Spirit knew what I didn't know. His Spirit helped me to pray when I didn't even know what to say. To God be the glory. Great things be yet done.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word, teaching a series entitled Power for Life. The way to tap in or to receive or to avail yourself of this power is to enter into a relationship, a personal faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we would love to talk with you more about it. Or you can make that decision right now in the privacy of your own heart between you and God. Why don't you bow your head and pray and do what the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, you can bow your head, confess that you would like Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your personal Savior. It would be the greatest decision you could ever make, and you could make it right now. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to Pastor Chappell's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. We are quickly approaching the annual Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th at Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chapel and the staff at Lancaster Baptist and West Coast Baptist College invite you and those you serve with to several days of wonderful preaching, inspiring music, and a theme of renewal that will renew your heart and your love for the Lord and His work. Again, the Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th. You can find out more about it when you visit online at dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chapel and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.